and express my gratitude to Brother Ed Sanders for his willingness to be here upon this occasion and to present this material. I would prefer to have opportunity to respond to that paper from the viewpoint of my involvement in that paper rather than have to present to you what has been prepared here. But my assignment is deal with what's here. And in dealing with this, much of that will be covered. But I'm glad to know so much about what Brother Deaver has said or what he thinks. It's necessary, and again I complain about the time. I'm always doing that. I fight two battles constantly, the battle of time, the battle of the bulge. I'm acquainted with both of them. I don't expect to receive any relief along that line. But I must say two or three things very, very briefly, very hurriedly, with regard to Brother Warren's material, in order for us to be able to more meaningfully appreciate what is being said. Right quickly, a word about explication and implication. Everything the Bible teaches, it teaches either explicitly or implicitly. And whatever the Bible teaches implicitly is just as true, binding, authoritative, meaningful, powerful, as is that which it teaches explicitly. I stand prepared to prove that. It isn't necessary to do it now, and we don't have the time. But much will be said about implication. Secondly, Brother Warren's material involves two basic, simple logic forms. One of them is called a modus ponens, one of them is called modus tollens. Both of them valid forms. That is, if P, then Q. P is true, therefore Q is true. It's that simple. That's modus ponens. Or if P, then Q, but Q is false. Well, then P is false. And so that's a valid form. And it's very, very important to our study this afternoon. Brother Warren, as if I read the paper correctly, is intending to place more emphasis upon the modus tollens, proving that the implication is false. If the battleship Missouri is gray, then the battleship Missouri has been painted. It is the case that the battleship Missouri is gray. Therefore, it is the case the battleship Missouri has been painted. That's valid. That's modus ponens. But try this one. If the battleship Missouri is gray, then the battleship Missouri has been painted. But we deny the consequence. It is false that the battleship Missouri is gray. Therefore, it is false that the battleship Missouri has been painted. Therefore, it is false that the battleship Missouri is gray. That's a valid form. That simply adds up to this particular point. Any doctrine which implies a false doctrine is itself false. Brother Warren agrees with that. I agree with that. Brother Bayes agrees with that. So we're working on something upon which there is solid agreement. Any doctrine which implies a false doctrine is itself a false doctrine. The doctrine of salvation by faith only implies that a person can be saved without being baptized in the name of Christ. But it is false that a person can be saved without being baptized in the name of Christ. Therefore, the doctrine of salvation by faith only is false. Any doctrine which implies a false doctrine is itself false. The title of Brother Warren's paper is it the case that no accountable person living today will be or can be saved? And if you've even glanced at the book, and I have not, I have very deliberately avoided the book. I didn't know what Brother Bales had. I didn't want to know what he had to say in that paper. And so even though I've had the book 2 days now, I have not looked at it because I knew that I would find myself trying to respond to him rather than to present this paper. And yet it's my job to present the paper so far as I possibly can do so. And so even a casual glance would tell you that I've got to start on page 14. There's no way that I can start with page 1 and get in the material that we do want to get. What are you laughing about, brother? So you agree, don't you? Okay. But I'm going to begin on page 14 because it looks to me like this gets to the very heart of the matter and we've got a very rigid time schedule. This particular section, the section heading is, Brother Bale's doctrine, here shown in more detail to imply a false doctrine and thus to be false. I said page 14, that's my page 14, which may not be your 14 at all. I don't know how it came out in the printing. Brother Bale's doctrine here shown in more detail to imply a false doctrine and thus itself to be false. In this section, Brother Warren says, first of all, I will set forth a number of propositions which are explicitly affirmed by Brother Baines, some of which have already been noted above. Then secondly, I will show some false propositions which are implied by the conjunction of those explicit propositions, that is, that are implied by Brother Bale's doctrine. And then third, I will show that the conclusion that Brother Bale's doctrine is false necessarily follows from the first and the second points. And so he gets right into some propositions which are affirmed by Brother Bales. Among many other crucial propositions, Brother Bales explicitly affirms the following propositions which are crucially relevant to my argument. Keep in mind, here is a listing of the propositions which Brother Bales explicitly affirms. Many of them, likely most of them, you and I will agree with. But he's affirming all of them. Keep that in mind. Number one, he affirms that only the church, or as he says it, the church only, that is, as Brother Bale says it, the church only is under or is amenable to the new covenant. Well, we hasten to emphasize, and Brother Warren does here, that that's false. Brother Bales affirms that as being true. We deny that it's true. This is a false proposition, but Brother Bales does affirm it. I have it in a notebook over here by Brother Sanders. This is the very proposition which Brother Bales himself signed in sending me a proposition for debate. I have a signature on that very proposition. It isn't any guesswork. It isn't any study about what was said here and in here and that for this, even though that's certainly legitimate. But this is his proposition. The church only is under the new covenant. It's signed by Brother Bales. Secondly, he affirms explicitly the new covenant embraces the truth in all of its parts. That's in Brother Bales' book, Was Christ a Christian, page 18, and this proposition is true. He affirms in the second place explicitly the new covenant is the faith which was once and for all, or has once and for all been delivered to the saints, referred to in Jude 3, no question about what faith we're talking about. And that's in Was Christ a Christian, page 18. And Brother Warren hastens to say this proposition is true. Bales also implies that the new covenant is the gospel, and that's in a book called The Kingdom Prophesied and Established, page 181. The new covenant is the gospel. Well, that's true, no question about that, no problem. Number four, Brother Bales affirms that no one can obey a law which he is not under, that is, to which he is not amenable, Romans 3:19, and Brother Warren adds this proposition is true. Number five, Brother Bales affirms that no one can disobey a law which he is not under, that is, to which he is not amenable. No one can disobey a law to which he is not amenable, Romans 4:15, Brother Warren adds this proposition is true. Number six, Brother Bales affirms explicitly that baptism is a part of the new covenant, part of the faith, the gospel, the law of Christ. As for Mark 16:15-16, that's in the book, Was Christ a Christian, page 57. This proposition, too, is true. Brother Bales affirms explicitly that water, or the water, the birth of water and of spirit, being baptized, is required for those who are under the new covenant, Was Christ a Christian, page 57. If Brother Bales' view that the church only is under the new covenant, if that's true, then this proposition would be false. It would not be the case that only the church is amenable to, if this command to be baptized applies to some out of the church. But it is true that all non-Christians who have sinned are required to be baptized, Mark 16:15-16, Acts 2:38. Number eight, Brother Bales affirms explicitly that no one can enter the church without being baptized, John 3:5, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Brother Bales admits that it's not even possible for a lost man to enter into the kingdom of God in some way other than by being born of water and the Spirit. Brother Bales answered the documentation. Brother Bales answered to question number 67 in a series of questions called Some Crucial Questions on Divorce and Remarriage, written by Brother Warren. And that's Brother Bales answer to number 67. That proposition is true. It's not even possible for one to get into the kingdom some other way. Number nine, the ninth proposition listed here that Brother Bales explicitly affirms. Human beings enter the world, that is, first become guilty of sin, not by violating the law of the Christ, the faith, the new covenant, but by violating the law of the heart. And in the paper which Brother Sanders has read, that point is emphasized. And Brother Warren says that he affirms that explicitly. Well, it does. We just heard it read to us. And which law of the heart, according to Brother Bales, is something different from and other than the new covenant? This paper said that Deaver and Warren both referred to the law on the heart, but let me tell you, when Deaver refers to it and when Brother Warren refers to it, we're talking about the law on the heart that's talked about in Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 8, and that's the gospel of Christ. It's not something other than the gospel, not something different to that gospel. That is, in our day, the law written on the heart. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not something else. But in Brother Bale's view, there is something that is separate from, distinguished from the gospel. And so he affirms that human beings enter the world, that is, first become guilty of sin, not by violating the law of Christ, the faith of the new covenant, but by violating what Brother Bales calls the law of the heart. And that's an answer to question number 71 in some crucial questions. That's Brother Bales' answer. This proposition is false. And we have scripture cited along that line. Now then, that's a series of nine propositions which Brother Bales does explicitly affirm. But now note some startling implications of the above propositions affirmed about Brother Bales. If these are the explicit statements, what are at least some of the implications of these statements? If Brother Bales' doctrine is true, that is, if, as Brother Bales has taught, all of the above nine propositions are true, as we've indicated, some are true and some are false, but so far as he's concerned, they're all true, and so we're dealing with them accordingly, then every accountable person, brethren, friends, and neighbors, that's the very thrust of this paper. That is, if these propositions are true, then every accountable person now living will be lost eternally in hell. That's Brother Warren's job to prove that. While all of the nine propositions are very important, perhaps the most crucial one in showing that his doctrine on divorce and remarriage implies universal damnation is the most important for our present consideration. That is, that every accountable person now living will go to hell. That's the false one which states that only the church is under the new covenant. And so we're simply going to latch on to that particular affirmation, that explicit statement or affirmation that only the church is under the new covenant. What are some of the implications of that affirmation? So if, and it's all set up correctly, and I deliberately did not put the board up here because I was afraid that would take too much of our time. You study carefully in the book. It is set up correctly, and the symbols and the logic are intended not to complicate but to simplify. And that's exactly what they're for, and that's what they do, if we'll simply take the time to look at it and study it. So if A, I said a while ago, if P, then Q. That P can be made up of any number of sub-points or conjuncts that make up a single conjunction. It may be made up of A, B, C, D, and on through Z, for that matter. It may be made up of A, B, and C. It may be made up of A and B. But it's all still that antecedent or symbolized by that P. So if A, it is the case that only the church is under the new covenant, and if B, it is the case that no one can obey a law which is not under, and if C, it follows that no one out of the church can obey the new covenant. That is, given Brother Bale's affirmation on the proposition that only the church is under the new covenant. If only the church is under the new covenant, and if no one can obey a law that's not addressed to him, then no one out of the church can obey the new covenant or any part thereof. If it's the case that only the church is under the new covenant, then if C, if no one out of the church can obey the new covenant, the faith, the gospel, the law of Christ, and if D, baptism is a part of the new covenant, then E, no one out of the church, that is, no child of the devil, no non-Christian, can be baptized, that is, given Brother Bale's affirmation, the proposition that the church only is under the new covenant. If the command to be baptized is a part of the new covenant, Brother Bale says it is. If a new covenant is addressed to the church only, Brother Bale says that is the case. Then the command to be baptized is addressed to the church only. And if the person to whom that command is not addressed certainly cannot obey it, then nobody outside can become a child of God. And the fact of the matter is then there's nobody in the church because you can't get in without the baptism. And if you are in the church or you claim to be, then you're simply mistaken about it because there's no way you could get in. It's not addressed to the outside. It's addressed only to those who are in the church, but you can't get in without the baptism. So there's nobody in the church. There's nobody that can obey that command. There's nobody that can obey the new covenant. Why do we have it? But if men become sinners by violating a law written on the heart, and if the law written on the heart will condemn but will not save, then my friend and brother and neighbor, that's universal damnation. All men will be lost. There's no way for anybody to be saved. And so if no one out of the church can be baptized, since according to Brother Bales, no one out of the church is under the new covenant, and if F, no one can enter the church without being baptized, John 3:5, then G, no one can enter the church, that is given Brother Bales' affirmation of the proposition that the church only is under the new covenant. Note, given Brother Bales' doctrine, then any person today who thinks that he's in the church simply is or is simply mistaken about it. Further, if G, each one of these points is built upon the preceding, if G, no one can enter the church, and if H, no one living today can be saved without entering the church, then I, no accountable person living today can go to heaven, that is given Brother Bales' affirmation, the proposition that the church only is under the new covenant. Furthermore, if J, everyone living today will go either to heaven or to hell, and if I, going back to pick up the I we've already covered, if no accountable person living today can go to heaven, then K, it follows according to Brother Bales that every accountable person living today will go to hell. That is given Brother Bales' affirmation, the proposition that the church only is under the new covenant. But M, the doctrine of universal salvation is false. Here is an affirmation of an explicit proposition which implies universal damnation, but the doctrine of universal damnation is false. But any doctrine which implies a false doctrine is itself false. And so furthermore, if N, Brother Bales' doctrine teaches by implication universal damnation, then O, Brother Bales' doctrine is false. And since N is true, then Brother Bales' doctrine on divorce and remarriage is false. Surely in the face of this truth, all discerning honest persons will reject the doctrines 1, that only the church is under the new covenant, and 2, that only Christians married to Christians are under Matthew 19:9, and will accept the view that according to Matthew 19:9, fornication is the one and only ground for divorce and remarriage given by Jesus Christ. Summarize right quickly, the Bales doctrine teaches by implication universal damnation, that no one living today can be saved. But the doctrine of universal damnation is false. Therefore, the Bales doctrine is false. Any doctrine which implies a false doctrine is itself a false doctrine. Well, does Brother Bales believe that there are presently no members of the church? Well, no, he doesn't believe that. But has he affirmed that the church only is under the new covenant? Yes, he's done that. Does that imply this doctrine of universal damnation? Yes, it does. And Brother Bales himself knows perfectly well that a man must either be willing to accept the implications of his doctrine or give up his doctrine. Nobody has pressed that harder than Brother James Bales. Well, there's so much in that connection we would like to give attention to. We're saying that these are matters, these are explicit propositions that involve at least this particular implication of that particular explicit proposition. And Doug, I have how many, Doug? 10 minutes? About 10 minutes? Okay. Furthermore, in the light of the foregoing, and in the light especially of their teaching that only the church is under the new covenant, and that there is not and cannot be any member of the church today, we might well ask ourselves, why did the Lord even then give the new covenant? That is, if the church only is under the new covenant, if no man can obey a law that's not addressed to him, if it is the case that the command to be baptized is a part of the new covenant, if it is the case that nobody can get into the church without being baptized, but this command is addressed to the church only, then how's anybody going to get into it? But if nobody, if that law is not addressed to the outsider, then nobody can get into it, and there's nobody into it, then to whom the new covenant would be addressed, why did the Lord even give it? Not only the case, why did he give Matthew 19:9, why did he give the new covenant, period? Since it couldn't be addressed to anybody. Why did the Lord even have the new covenant? As a matter of fact, given Brother Bales a position, it follows by implication from his explicit statement that not one person living today is amenable to Matthew 19:9 or any other passage in the entirety of the new covenant, the gospel of Christ. The force of this truth will perhaps be seen more easily if one knows that Brother Bales, under the paragraph heading in his own book, show that the opponent will not abide by his own logic. He said this, if, however, one does not show that the opponent's logic involves conclusions that he himself does not ought not accept, the audience is apt to think that you're twisting a scripture to suit your own case when you give the true explanation. Brother Bales himself, Christian Contend for Thy Cause, page 116. All right. It is nevertheless clear that Brother Bales has long recognized the correctness, even the necessity at times, of showing that the explicit statements of men may clearly imply doctrine which is false, and that when such is the case, it proves that his original doctrine is false. So far as this writer knows, he did not teach, that is, Brother Warren referring to Brother Bales. Brother Bales did not teach this error until he began to teach that Matthew 19:9 is addressed only to Christians who are married to Christians. But when he started teaching that Matthew 19:9 is addressed only to Christians who are married to Christians, in order to have even a prayer of making his case, he had to teach also that non-Christians are not even under the new covenant. But the reader or the listener should be careful, should note carefully what he wrote, what Brother Bales wrote in former years. Listen to this quotation. The reason the patriarchal system, Brother Bales said this, the reason the patriarchal system ended with the establishment of the new covenant and did not end with the establishment of the old covenant was that the law was not for all mankind. That alien sinner, with regard to that law, as per the paper read by Brother Saunders, that alien sinner in Judaism, that Gentile, he wasn't subject to that Mosaic law. I'm not saying at all that he didn't have a law, but he wasn't subject to the Mosaic law. That is no case at all parallel to our current situation, because God has in our day one law for all men. And so the alien in relationship to Judaism is no parallel at all with regard to the alien in relationship to the gospel of the Christ. Yes, it's true that Christ is king over his kingdom, but it's also true, brethren, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, it's true that some teaching applies in a different way to some people, even in the church. But it's also true that everybody is amenable to that teaching. It's true that a woman could never serve scripturally as an elder of the church, but she's amenable to that teaching of the Bible, the law of Christ, on the subject of the eldership. Amenable? Maybe there's where our difference comes, or we need to understand what amenability is. All right? But here's what he says. He says the law was not for all mankind, but the gospel dispensation was for all mankind. Brother Bales knew that when he wrote these lines. That's in the Kingdom Prophesied and Established, Brother Bales' book, page 181. And please note the admissions then which are inherent in that statement. Number one, the patriarchal system did not end with the establishment of the law of Moses. Secondly, the patriarchal system did not end with the establishment of the law of Moses because the law of Moses was not for all mankind. Third, the patriarchal system did end with the establishment of the new covenant because the new covenant is for all mankind. Brother Bales knew that when he wrote that book. The new covenant and the gospel are one and the same thing. Number five, implication there. Thus, the patriarchal system ended with the establishment of the gospel. And number six, the new covenant, the gospel is for all mankind. Thus, when Brother Bales wrote that book, he taught the truth on the fact that the new covenant, the gospel, is for all mankind. That is, he admitted that all men now living are under the new covenant, the gospel. An objection by Brother Bales, considered in relationship to Matthew 28, 18 through 29. Number one in this connection, if Brother Bales is to have any case at all, he must establish at least the following. Number one, that the gospel, the faith, the law of Christ, the new covenant, the truth, is not a universal message. That is, it is not addressed to all men, as indicated in Mark 16, 15, and many other passages that make it clear that his position is false on that. Secondly, he must establish that only the church is amenable to the new covenant, the faith. Third, he must establish that Matthew 19:9 is a so-called covenant passage, and that is only Christians are amenable to it. Fourth, he must establish it as a matter of fact that Matthew 19:9 is not even addressed to all Christians, but is addressed only to Christians who are married to Christians. Brother Bales, in fact, does not even believe that all Christians are under the new covenant. I've tried to help him see his self-contradiction in that regard. But Matthew 19:9 does not apply to the case according to that doctrine in which a Christian is married to a non-Christian. Not even that Christian in that mixed marriage case is amenable to the law of Christ or the gospel of Christ. He must establish that no one could know that Matthew 19:9 is addressed only to Christians who are married to Christians without learning the new revelation which Paul sets out in 1 Corinthians 7, 10 through 15. Brother Bales himself is very strong in stressing that that's where he learned it. 1 Corinthians 7, 10 through 15. And in the sixth place, he must establish that if the apostles and prophets preached Matthew 19:9 as a universal message, that is, that it's addressed to all men, between the day of Pentecost and the day when the new covenant, the faith, came into force, At the time that Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, let me explain that right quickly. I often catch myself trying to explain what Brother Thomas Brother Tom said. I wonder. Well, anyhow, here's Pentecost, 33 A.D. Here's the book of 1 Corinthians, 57 A.D. 24 years. So Brother Baines must be able to establish that no apostle or no other inspired man for that 24 years ever taught that Matthew 19:9 applied to all marriages. And if they did so teach, then they were guilty of false teaching. But there's no way to know that until 24 years after Pentecost. Well, how does Brother Baines try to establish this collection of doctrines? I've discussed all of it, Brother Warren says, in a certain book, Keeping the Lock in Wedlock, and you're likely familiar with that. And he gives the page number and all, and you have that before you. Brother Bales really stakes his case that 1 Corinthians 7, 10 through 15 proves that Matthew 19:9 is not addressed to all men, but only to Christians who are married to Christians, on what he says about Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Here's a very basic point in the platform upon which Brother Bales seeks to build his case. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Brother Warren says, I have dealt with this at length. And then he gives the page number, Keeping the Lock in Wedlock. I have refuted what Brother Bales argues on this point, but he never pays any attention to what I've actually said. All right? Now, in regard to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Brother Bales says, regarding Deaver and Warren, that if they will keep in mind to and of whom Christ is speaking, they will understand the difference between the command to teach the gospel to the world, Matthew 28, 19, Brother Bales says, and the command to teach converts. You see that distinction? To teach converts to observe all that Jesus has commanded the baptized to do, according to Matthew 28, 20. But they teach that the unconverted are bound by the commands of Matthew 28, 20, even though they've never heard the gospel, much less been baptized into Christ. And that's from the scope of the covenant, the script of the typescript of it, page 2. Now, Brother Warren gets into what Matthew 28, 18 through 20 really does teach. See, Brother Bales is making a distinction between getting or teaching this gospel to every creature and teaching them, which he assumes is them who have been baptized. What you teach them and what you teach the outside, different things entirely according to the commission. And that's a basic error. And it may be a basic error in your preaching. That's not what the Great Commission says. All right? In giving this brief explanation, I shall use the American Standard Version, which makes the proper and necessary distinction between Mathetuo and Didasco. The Lord says, go ye. Well, that's aorist passive participle. The go ye. First aorist passive participle, nominative masculine plural of the plural my. It could be translated, having gone. That would be the more accurate rendering. Having gone, therefore, now then make disciples or disciple ye. The King James has teaching them. Make disciples, and this teaching them, having gone, make disciples, is from the Mathetusite, which is second person plural aorist active imperative of Mathetuo, which literally means make disciples. This is the main verb. Having gone, make disciples. Remind me to come back to that, Doug, will you please?